sighted the microphone from the green light to the speed trap. Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
Tooling down the highway doing 79. I'm a twin pipe popper and I'm feeling fine. Hey man, dig that. Was that a red stop sign? Fusion, transfusion. I'm just a solid mess of contusions. Never, never, never gonna speed again. Slip the blood to me, bud. I jump in my rod.
Slip the blood to me, bud, because we are just a solid bunch of contusions today.
Contusions, concussions, yeah, all kinds of ushins and tusions.
Repercussions here on Motormouth Radio.
What's got the aspirins?
Yes, Long Island's only automotive talk show, fully vetted and approved by Rolling Thunder Cycles in scenic downtown Hempstead.
Well, it's always good that somebody's giving us our approval.
Yes. With your host, Ray Guarino, and his co-host, XO and Man at the Con, when I have to step out for a court martialing or something, is Joe D.
Hey.
Joe?
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, how are you?
I try to keep you in the studio because, yeah, you know, when we let you run amok, it usually ends up not turning out well.
Well, yeah, I try to stay put. That's how that works. But, you know, sometimes it don't always work.
Yeah, but we're here, and we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, you know, give us a call, 516-572-7440. And you can get us on the line live, because we had a couple of guests scheduled for today, a couple that were in the queue. And
they sobered up.
They all dropped out. Yeah, none of them kind of came in. I guess they realized they had something else to do today.
You think they turned on and tuned in first?
Yeah, and then turned off. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's okay, because, you know, we always love to talk to you guys, the listeners out there.
Yeah,
and gals.
And we always
and
have stuff.
Assorted other life forms that might have decided to catch the wave out in space there.
That's right. We always have something. And we know that sound waves and all sorts of waves, radio waves, they stay out there for a long time. I mean, you could be out on a starship somewhere and you know, catch something from 13 years ago.
There's somebody on Alpha Centauri watching I Love Lucy right now.
Exactly.
So, hey, wait till they get to some of the newest stuff. I can't wait till they come to Earth and say, where is your great philosopher, Al Bundy?
Yeah, right. It could be kind of like a menagerie of sorts, if you will.
Then we'll have to put him in a cage.
Right, right. Or at least a box that looks like a sauna thing. I don't know, whatever the hell it is.
Okay.
Just call me Pike. So.
Turnpike.
Yeah.
So, enough of the arcane science fiction references.
Right, right.
How's the car stuff doing, Ray?
Car stuff is doing. There's always something going on, as you know, with the family cars, with the project cars, and I have something going on with all of them, pretty much. This week.
You've been a very busy boy. I've seen quite a few texts and emails. Emanating from your address over there.
Well,
you know?
The red flags all go to you. It's like, no, hey, Joe.
I'm one big red flag. I know. It's like, okay, here comes trouble. Just give it to Joe.
Well, here's the one right up your alley. My wife was driving her cruise the other day, and all of a sudden, luckily she was approaching a traffic light on Sunrise Highway, so she was slowing down, and the car just kind of fell on its face, stumbled. She could only go about, she said, like 1 mile an hour. It was probably faster. She said she had a light on the dash, and she was able to make a left across Sunrise to get into a parking lot, which happened to be right across from the Chevy dealer.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. And then she called me, and I said, okay, well, what happened? Well, there was a light. The thing, you know, the car wouldn't move. I said, sounds like I went into limp mode. And we talked for a little bit, and I said, okay, try, you know, restart the car. I said, and see if it'll motor around the parking lot. And it did. It actually did. I said, I think you're going to be fine you know, to get back home.
Mowed it around as in drove normally.
Yeah, well, around at parking lot speed.
Right, okay.
But it felt better than when she limped it across, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay, abort the trip to Queens to see your mom. Like, that's where she was going.
Right.
I said, head back home. There's a couple of big parking lots in between
just in case, you can dive into.
And she did. The check engine light, I said, and the next cycle, that may actually go away, and I'll check it when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. When I got home, I had a PO, what is it, 2035 code.
2135, I think.
Maybe 2135.
Yeah, okay. Which was for the TPS is not agreeing, the throttle position sensors.
Yeah. You know, she did say she saw a traction control light on. It was that thing with, like, the skid marks under it. I was like, what, the laundry basket? What are you talking about?
Stop it. Stop it. You're doing it again.
I said, basically, you know, from what I could discern from what she told me, I said, okay, it's a fault. The car is being smarter than you. In my limited knowledge, the car thinks it's on an ice skating rink. And you're trying to drive it on said ice skating rink, so it basically is shutting everything down so you can't crash it anything faster than a slight little roll.
Right, right.
And hence all the other stuff that happened. So,
well, okay, you got to keep in mind too that what happens with a lot of car companies these days, and the Japanese started doing this a number of years back, is that if you have a code in any system, particularly the engine system,
mm-hmm.
it lights up every friggin' warning light for the traction control, the stereo, the
I all did kinds see of stuff about the crews having stereo issues that goes with that.
I mean, but no, they want your attention.
Oh yeah.
They want your attention. And like the first time I saw this, I was like, oh my God, look at this thing. And then I started going through, the one thing about the newest scanners is that they have this feature where you can kind of have a chat with all the computers at once, and they pop up and they say hello just to make sure that they're with you.
Nice.
And they also will tell you what codes. And this first call was a Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
And basically had like an oxygen sensor code. Okay. And, but the other codes were like the ABS and problem with the engine computer, and the stability system, problem with the engine computer, and everybody was pointing the finger at the engine computer, and I was like,
yeah.
So the pool woman who owned the car was like flipping out. She thought she needed a new car with like the bomb squad or something, and I was like, watch this. I hit clear codes and like all the lights went out simultaneously.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it was just the oxygen sensor code that that's, but you know what? It did its job,
right?
Because that one, you know, that customer came directly to the shop.
Right.
You
that's
know,
what this it was. It was Stabilitrack that went off. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's GM's terminology. Service Stabilitrack.
So you know what I did is that day I was going down to the other job at the shop to work on the restoration Chevelle project, where Mike has he has that nice
that
new
throttle position sensor go bad too.
Did it go bad?
Yeah. Did you have any codes in that car?
No, not in that car. No, good, that good. Car has nothing to get codes
Thank
in.
Thank God.
You saw that car. That's pretty much a shell being reborn right now. But I had Mike put the car, you know, use the Autel scanner, and that's why I sent you the 2-page report on everything that came up on that car.
Right.
And it did confirm what I thought. You know, all that stuff was on there. So now the question was, okay, where do you go from there? You know, and that's a great topic because people need to know, you know, like, hey, I got an oxygen sensor code. Let me buy an oxygen sensor. Well, no.
That's one of the bad parts about going to some of these places that advertise free code checks, and you know they're usually places that sell parts, and they.
I'll give you the.
They'll say, "Oh yeah, you have an oxygen sensor code. Here's an oxygen sensor, or something along those lines." Meanwhile, the code may be for something else, like maybe it's an oxygen sensor heater with a blown fuse,
right.
Or like a lean condition because you really got a vacuum leak, and well, you know that goes to a number of different things.
And
you know?
Our dear old comrade, who performed Swissnomics on his car, would do that. Like, I got a sensor code, so let me change all the sensors because it's probably And then there was some thought to that. I mean, I got one bad sensor. They're all the same age, so let me change them all. I'm like, okay, well, if you cop
the shotgun,
if you check. Book supports that, but you know I like to go a little more surgically. So you know I had sent you the PDF that had all the different codes that the car had on it. And,
yeah.
And we're looking at, we're pretty much looking at, you know, it was looking at like throttle body. Or I saw something too that you echoed to me was there's a connector, and they said to basically take it apart, I guess clean it, and
there's a technical service bulletin for
and insulate it.
To use like
a dielectric.
Dielectric group, thank you.
Now, is that the connector to the throttle body? Because I didn't get to go any further with this since we spoke. I've been busy with other stuff. So
yeah, basically it's the old thing of terminal fretting.
Okay,
and you know unless your terminals say Fender on them or Gibson,
yeah.
They shouldn't have any fretting.
Right.
Actually, GM's, well, a lot of car companies, but GM was talking about this in the early 2000s, where if you looked at the terminals under a microscope, you could actually see these little horizontal bars,
yep,
which they refer to as fretting.
That's correct.
And would cause intermittent contact. Now, the thing about the throttle control system...
You want to explain what those little horizontal bars really actually are?
They're little whoopie-doos.
It's actually a product, byproduct of the metal and the solder. It's really like a conductive path,
right,
that jumps between the connectors and now causes also. Now, they can't carry a lot of current because they're very small, but it happens.
All it takes, yeah, particularly GM, if it doesn't see anything it likes in the throttle control system for like a tenth of a second, sometimes even less, the thing goes into that reduced power mode.
Is that like 0.01 gallons of grease?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
all right.
Those engineers love their decimal points.
GM,
you know?
Terminology, yes.
And then what happens is it goes into that reduced power mode, which means, right, that you're not going to pull. Remember the Toyotas a few years back with the unintended acceleration and all that other crap?
Right.
All right, so yeah. GM's lawyer said, you're going to put this in and you're going to make sure that nobody goes through no walls in our cars. And pretty much that's what happens. Now, if that glitch was an intermittent and it only happened for the 0.01 seconds, all right, you can pull the car over to the side, shut it off, which is what your wife did,
mm-hmm,
and it wakes up and says, oh, I'm good, and off you go.
Which is what happened.
And this also gives you the opportunity to get home, you know, talk to your mechanic, whatever the case may be.
Right.
And, you know, that portion of it, I think, is a good idea, because if the thing just stayed in that low power mode,
yeah,
that's a long way from home.
Yeah, like I told her, I said, you know, you're lucky this happened on a road that you could pull off. I said, if you're on the LIE doing 60 or 70,
right,
with a semi on your tail, and now the thing goes into, right, that mode, like, now it's a problem.
Well, you know, that's kind of like the high-tech 21st century equivalent of a busted throttle cable,
yeah,
in an older car.
Right, right.
You know, either way, it's like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have to coast real quick.
Good analogy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you said that, I had a flashback of one of my cars. As a matter of fact, one of my quote-unquote newer cars from the 80s back then, and like, I snapped a throttle cable, and I was on the Cross Island. And
uh-oh.
And, you know, thank God there was the marina right there.
Okay, right by the Bayside Marina, yeah.
And in which case, then, of course, the string and the mechanics wire comes out.
Yeah.
So I can get back home. You know, I cobbled something up there right on the side of the road.
Right, right.
You know, and besides that, you can watch the people jogging.
Yeah.
And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
Bicycling and stuff,
yeah,
like that. But you're not doing nothing with no mechanics wire and string on a newer car.
No.
So basically, it's like, whip out the phone, get the tow truck. But, you know,
the other thing that came back with this car when I did do some research was the sensor that is on the, what they call the gas pedal, which is really an air pedal. But, you know, down there is this box, a black box on the pedal assembly that is, I'm assuming, it either is a rheostat or it's the digital equivalent of a rheostat.
It's a couple of the rheostats.
It's like an anglinometer, you know, an angle inclinometer, I guess, to sense pedal position, which feeds back to the computer and to the drive,
yeah,
body.
That system, I mean, most car companies pretty much do the same thing in that you have at least two sensors. Mm-hmm. And most position sensors, you know, you start with your foot off the gas, it's very little voltage, and as you put your foot on the gas, it goes up. What they do there is they have one sensor that starts low and goes high, which is normal,
yeah,
and the other one starts high and goes low. So that way, in case anything ever shorts together,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, in other words, one sensor lies, the other one's going to swear to it,
mm-hmm,
that can never happen, because rather than having two parallel paths, now you have two intersecting paths, and the computer's like, oh, no good, you know, and no gas pedal for you.
There's one word for that. Fascinating.
No,
fascinating.
Not in a cross island doing 60. No.
Well, it's very fascinating. We are going to fascinate ourselves right into a break. Let's do that, and we'll come back with more Morning Mouth Radio. You can get more of Rig Guarino and Joe D when we come back. So, you know, where are we going here? You know what? Good time for a wet dream. Let's try that.
It was April the 41st. Being a quadruple leap year, I was driving in downtown Atlantis. My Barracuda was in the shop, so I was in a rented Stingray, and it was overheating. So I pulled into a Shell station. They said I'd blown a seal. I said, fix the damn thing and leave my private life out of it, okay, pal?
If I were a car, I would go vroom, vroom, vroom.
If it's Motor Mouth, it's WHBC.
Hi, I'm Rob Leonard, host of Beatles Songs for the past 24 years right here on WHPC. Beatles Songs airs every Friday from 8 p.m. to 11 p.m., playing the music of the Beatles together, apart, along with Beatle cover songs and songs the Beatles covered, along with songs a Beatle either guested on and or produced. And of course, we provide Beatle news. It's not the same show where they play the same 10 songs. So join me every Friday for Beatles Songs. 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. on 90.3 WHPC, the voice of Nassau Community College, streaming at ncc.edu/WHPC.
It's now easier to listen to the voice of Nassau Community College on your phone.
Stay connected to your favorite radio station anywhere you go on the iHeartRadio app.
Never miss shows like the Nassau Morning Madhouse, It's Saucy, or the Radio Rumble Again.
Streaming 24/7, 365. Listen to WHPC everywhere.
iHeartRadio is radio and unlimited music all in one app.
Listen live now in the iHeartRadio app and at iHeartRadio.com.
Just search for 90.3 WHPC.
One of them was this cute little yellowtail, and she's giving me the eye. So I figured this is my
Well, we are back with Motor Mouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D at the helm. And you may wonder why we're playing all this crazy stuff like Wet Dream by Kip Adada and Transfusion. Well, it is because Barrett Hansen is back in the news today. Of course, we know him as Dr. Demento. Who
good
did his
good old Dr. Demento? Right, yes, cruising around with that on the AM radio.
Exactly, and like later Saturday on in the '80s, he did 4 hours on. I think it was at the time WNEW. I think the WXQ. But he always had the Funny Five, which were the top five funny songs of the week. You can visit him on drdemento.com. In fact, we are card carrying members, Joe.
Oh. The button.
I actually joined the fan club. We had a picture of him here too that I had used to carry around.
I thought that was Chris.
Yeah. Well, it is, but so we're just doing a little homage to Dr. D today because he's one of our favorites on Motor Mouth Radio. You can catch us on Motor Mouth Radio if you want to go to .com or .net. It'll all go to the same place. Twitter feed is Motor Mouth Radio, where you may find Joe. Soon.
Yeah, I became a twit, yeah.
Yes, we don't know. We'll see if that... we'll talk about that because we have some fun. We have a bunch of good followers. We're picking up more every day. And on the website, you want to check the new promos we have up for Marty Shore's book, Day One, which was... it's a fantastic video promo. We have a guy, you know?
We got a guy.
This guy is
real good with
And he's
this
good
stuff.
At this stuff. And there's also a promo for Steve Magnante, who was last week's guest. Just added Cookies the Cat into that, which is pretty cool. That's the piece we were waiting for. And you want to check those out because they're pretty cool. You'll also find them on Twitter. But again, MotorMouthRadio.com or net and on Twitter, Motormouth Radio. Check it out. Let us know what you think and say...
Yeah, we're all over the place now.
Yeah, so... With that, let's see.
Going back to this here.
Okay, let's go back to cruise.
So I think the first thing we're going to have to do with that is we're going to try the dielectric grease solution first.
Right. Now, again, just to clarify, that is the connector, the electrical connector that connects to the throttle
body.
Okay.
I mean, it only seemed to happen the one time.
So far, yeah.
So far. I mean, and it could have just been a funky connection. And I would rather slather a little grease on a connection.
See, that's the thing. I would think if it was rainy or bad weather, that might be an issue. But, I mean, it was a dry, cool day. It wasn't...
Right.
But, I'm going to take that apart and look. And yeah. I do have a microscope at home, by the way.
Yeah, you do.
And I even have a USB microscope. So if I can drag the computer out there, I could...
Watch out. Flies.
Yeah. right.
You know what I mean? You never know.
Do it on an overcast day. Actually, that's how I get to look at my stylus, my styli.
No, I was going
to
say you're going to do Miss Vincent Price thing or something.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, I would take a look at that. I would also, because...
So basically go for the cheap, dirty, the cheap, the inexpensive, free fix first.
Exactly. Right. By all means. And then, you know, they're... You know, I did a little research, and there were a lot of references to throttle bodies.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? Because basically, you know, it could have been just one little dead spot. Could have been a fly in the throttle position sensor housing.
Right, right.
Something like that. And let's not get crazy here just yet. I mean, luckily, it's not a tough car to get parts for.
Now, I was kind of amazed because you jumped me. I guess you had a little bit more time than I did because you did find a link to the throttle body on a popular aftermarket site, sent me the link, and it was under $100.
Yeah.
Well, I remember throttle bodies. Some of them were like $300-$400 not too long ago.
I found the bare one on a Kia... Not a Kia, a Hyundai XG300, you know, the top of the line V8, $1,500.
Jeez.
You know, so, and pretty much it was the only place to get it was from Hyundai.
Wow.
And it was pretty much, you know what, you pay me.
Right, right.
And, I think the guy ended up junking the car.
Yeah.
But, because the whole rest of the car was worth $1,500. So, you know, hey. But I think before you go for that, it's not like, especially in a case like that, which is not what she drives, like, you know, 100 miles a day.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or, like, late at night or something like that. Besides that, usually the fix is, like I said, just shut it off. You know, take a couple of heartbeats and then, you know, start it back up. And as long as the problem isn't present.
Is that because it's a Chevy?
Well, it's a GM thing in general.
The heartbeat?
Yeah.
Come on. You know, think of the decal from the 80s, the heartbeater.
I know. I still got it.
You got the shirt.
I have tons of them shirts. Today I'm wearing a Ford shirt, just like somebody else I know.
Yeah, get out of my bedroom, damn it.
It's like more like get out of my head, damn it. But
I don't know how you pick out your clothes. We've never had that discussion. We never needed to. But I'll tell you what I do. I have drawers of T-shirts, and I also have a rack in my closet with T-shirts.
Right.
And I just happened to look over this morning and saw gray. And I grabbed it and said, "Oh, Ford. Okay, put it on. Sell you wiener in a T-bird club." That's
stop it.
That's how I got.
Just freaking stop it. Okay.
Look at what women go through. Yo, your daughter, my daughters. Look what they go through.
Right.
Just to run out of the house to do something.
The garbage.
The flow chart looks like it's from a NASA launch procedure.
I know.
You know, like, oh, geez.
I just figure it's like as long as nothing's hanging out or dripping or anything then I'm good to go.
Everything's covered and.
Right, yeah. And I'm not going to be cold. You know what I mean?
That's the other thing.
We're trying to keep that cold thing down. But basically, at that point, I'm good. But what does this have to do with throttle bodies?
Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, actually, that part is relatively inexpensive. That's another clue, though. You know, going back to my, you know, flashback to my 80s days.
While Joe's
Chevy.
Flashing back, you can call us at 516-572-7440.
We want the flashy thing to flash, not my head. Back when GM first came out with mass airflow sensors.
What year was that?
They started using them like 85, 84, stuff like that.
That's MAF for you people like the opposite of the acronyms, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. They were like $500.
Well, new technology, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was stupid money, you know. And
cool the way it works, though. I mean, you know, with the wire, the hot wire
and all that other stuff.
Very cool technology. It can take the pressure of the air going across it and extrapolate a voltage.
Yeah, and then, or sometimes a frequency.
Right.
And
freak, for you.
Hertz. Yeah. Hertz, which is like what I was going to say, is usually what you did is you used to smack them and then see if the car stumbled.
Right.
And then, you know, if you really wanted to change it anyway, you just smacked it really hard until it cracked.
Right.
But what happened after about 2 or 3 years is that the prices dropped to like, oh, $80, $90.
Sounds like all modern electronics.
Yeah. But what happened was is that GM was warranting them hand over fist.
Okay.
So what happens is they drop the price. As soon as I saw that, or the good old inventory diagnostics.
And you were in the parts business at that time.
At that point, I was a parts guy.
Right.
And know, that and inventory diagnostics, where if you call up, you know, your parts house or the dealer, and you got such and such a part. Oh, yeah, we got nine of them. What does that tell you?
Right.
But that's what happened. The price of that throttle body, I bet you 5 years ago that thing would have been $300-$400.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now it's just dropped because they're probably selling them hand over fist. They got to compete.
Yeah.
You know, same thing with the coil unplugs. They were stupid money. Sure. And then when they started popping all over the place.
The other thing we talked about that I brought up to you was, because on this popular site, you can find options for which brand you want to buy. And I always think of, okay, what's the preferred brand to buy? Because there's a lot of good brands out there. But sometimes some manufacturers are better with some things than others.
Right, and, right. That's the case. Or sometimes what also happens is that certain technologies, there are only maybe one or two companies that are capable of doing it.
Right.
And in which case, what you end up is that the same part with different labels, and they're within a few bucks of each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's pretty much... You're going to get the same part no matter where you get it from.
See, it was just like when Howie called a few weeks ago and asked about a spark plug recommendation for his Audi.
Mm-hmm.
And we discussed that. It's the same thing with this. And, you know, I mean, I saw Delco and Bosch. I said, wow, Delco is the mothership for GM, so there you go. But Delco may not be made by, you know, probably not made by them.
Or Delco could be putting somebody else's stuff in,
exactly,
in their box, you know, for whatever reason.
Knowing Bosch as an electrical company, saying, wow, that's like Magneti Marelli. They do manufacture. So that was my, you know, that's why I threw it over to you. Like, what do you think, Delco or Bosch?
These days, everybody's in cahoots with everybody else because nobody can make everything.
Yeah.
And working for a large parts manufacturer, I know that sometimes... there are people that buy stuff from us. We buy stuff from other people. You know, pretty much it's, what was that movie from the 70s? Bob and Carol and Ted Nallis.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. You don't, it's like you don't know who's doing what to who. So
right.
Pretty much at that point, you're looking at price and availability and you know, the reputation of the company that's selling it.
Now, with something like a throttle body, mm-hmm. that's not a particularly difficult part to change.
On most vehicles.
Now, on...
Found one on a Volvo. That was like rip half the motor apart. But
you know, I know even on like on the Protégé, that one is kind of stuck. Like, I wanted to take it off to clean it. And, you know, it's in the back and it's on an angle and it's not easy. So,
right.
But, you know, so it's not too bad if you had to get in there and do it again. But let's, what we're going to do.
We're going to have a flash forward. Look at that. Somebody saved me. Thank you.
Let's go in there and say hi. You're on with the Motor Mouths.
Yeah. Hi. It's Al Handy. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Al. What's happening up in gorgeous New Jersey?
Nah, not much. A lot of rain, a lot of water.
Oh, here too. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Listen, my Jeep Compass is driving me crazy with the P0420 code.
Catalytic converter.
What is that, like a rear-end gear code?
Yeah, no, not this one.
I can't keep up with this guy with his rear-end stuff.
Yeah.
It's also
a popular burnable substance, too, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, but the 420 code, it comes and it goes.
Right.
It's weird. The car run a little rough. Throw the code, I'll clear it, and then a month or two later, it'll come back.
Okay.
I just don't understand what's going on.
How many miles are we talking?
It's strange.
How many miles?
I had a lot of trouble with the O2 sensors.
Right.
The
we're going to get to that in a minute.
Products don't like aftermarket O2 sensors.
They sure don't. They sure don't.
There we go. We're talking about parts and compatibility
a
second ago.
Exactly.
How many miles on the Jeep, Al?
129 now.
Okay. And what year?
11.
Okay, so it's not that old. It does have, it is well past the 8 and 80 warranty.
Period. Much year, right.
Yeah, but and for the most part, it runs well.
Oh yeah.
You haven't had any problems with misfires.
Changed the plugs. Uh-huh. And this also got me too yesterday. I pulled the plugs. I started it up, so it was on cold mode.
Right.
So I pulled the one plug. It smelled a little like gasoline. So I don't know if I got a leaky injector or not.
All right. Well, that's possible.
Okay. We're going to have to. That's going to enter into the equation. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
First of all, PO420. You should, by rights, never feel a catalytic converter code. PO420, PO430, if you have a V8 with the other bank. The way that that code is set is that the computer compares the activity of the front and the rear oxygen sensors. In other words, think of it this way. The front oxygen sensor is supposed to move. It's supposed to bounce around with the air-fuel ratio, the variations, and whatever. And then the rear sensor, because it's going through the cat, I mean, the way I explain this to customers is that think of the cat as like a filter, which is, like, engineering-wise, extremely oversimplified, almost downright wrong. But the rear sensor is supposed to be flat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, if you were to take a good running car, take the cat out and put a piece of pipe in there, and now the 202 sensors would do pretty much the same thing because there's no cleaning, no filtering, no catalytic going on, you know what I mean? So as far as that goes, there would be too much activity. But as a rule, I see cars, you know, when I break people the news that they need a cat, they're like, car runs fine, what's the matter? That basically, if the car runs like crap because it's had a misfire, or it burns oil or antifreeze or whatever, that's just a dead giveaway that the cat kind of gave it up as far as it couldn't keep up with the crap you were throwing it that you were expecting it to clean up.
Right.
Now, that drip and injector thing, that sounds a little bit scary.
Which is also not the end. I mean, injectors do that when they age.
Yeah, right. When they get old, sure.
Sure.
Do you have an
I'm
injector?
I'm just wondering if you would smell the gasoline on the spark plugs after a couple of minutes of running.
You might. If it was stone cold or whatever, you could.
Yeah.
Actually, a better way of... does your scanner give you the ability to see the freeze frame?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you notice what your fuel trims were doing at that point?
No, I did not.
Okay. That's always something I look at, especially certain more Japanese cars, but it's always a good thing to look at the air fuel ratio.
Okay.
In other words, if the car is struggling to maintain the proper air fuel ratio,
stoichiometry.
That means that at certain points, the catalytic converter is being overworked, either by too lean or too rich. And catalytic converters are meant to work at stoichiometry, more or less, to do the conversion from hydrocarbons and carbon monoxide to CO2 and water.
Right.
What happens is if they're working a little bit too hard, then maybe that could point you towards that maybe you have something that's killing the thing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing... you drive the car mostly on the highway, or it's
right now? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Usually, driving them on the highway is a good way to keep them from getting loaded up.
Al, if you can download the freeze frame data from your scanner and send it to me, send it in an email.
Yeah.
I can get it to Joe, and then he can take a look at it.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just weird because first of all, we went through O2 sensors, and I was getting bad reading on both sensors, the front and rear. We replaced them both.
Right.
And one of them came back bad, even though it was a Mopar part. So I bought it back. I bought it to the dealer, actually, for them to run Dynastics on it.
Yeah.
After the second O2 sensor went. And they couldn't find anything. But they replaced the one sensor since I bought it from them.
Okay.
A couple of weeks prior.
Do you have a guy who does injector rebuilding anywhere near you?
No, not that I know of.
We got a guy here right in Rockville Center. He does, because I had mine done. That's, what they'll do is they put the injectors on a test bench and just power them up, and they can see if they leak. They can see the flow pattern, and then they can rebuild. And, instead of replacing, because some of those injectors do get kind of costly.
Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm looking for better mist pattern and all that other stuff.
Right.
I do with the truck and the Jeep, I put the 12-hole Bosch injectors in.
Right.
There are times when you're looking for more performance, but something like a Jeep Compass, it's like you want it to run, you don't want it to get stuck, and you don't want it to drink you dry. I would say, though, the other thing I would look at is possibly the Mode 6, if you can get that. That's the that's when you always hear me talking about the monitors, and that's when the car does its own little self test, and it runs the test on the catalytic converter, and it decides whether it passes or fails, and it's a number. I've had a couple of cars that failed, and for whatever reason, like the customer, claiming poverty or whatever the case may be, and I noticed that the Mode 6, in other words, let's just say arbitrarily, the number was 100. And you had to be 100 or less to pass. All right. And this guy was at like 103. You know what I mean? And between, like, say, a tune-up and some injector cleaner or some of that Cataclean slash guaranteed to pass stuff, all of a sudden now, the next time we ran it in the cat monitor passed, and it showed that it was, like, now it was a little less. Now it was, like, say, 97 or 95. And it's like, well, you have another year now.
Right.
You
know, winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, exactly.
You've been given the reprieve.
Right.
So it's either start selling the car or start saving up for a cat.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So you might be close. On the other hand, if the thing is completely in the toilet, you know, it's just like, buckle down, get the cat, be done. You know, if you got fresh O2 sensors in there, you know, you might as well just do it that way. A lot of times when an older car, and it's got, like, say, the original cat, and it's, like, 10 years old, I'll recommend both the O2 sensors, because when you go to take them out and you put a wrench to them, or the torch, or the impact gun, or whatever weapon of mass destruction that the mechanic decides to use,
Al's got all of those.
The internal workings of the sensor, that little sensor nubby that just goes...
Extremely, knock on wood, as I beat my head, extremely lucky with the O2 sensors. I've had none of them. I put a wrench on them, and they pop right out.
Oh, you're dead now.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's it. I'd be throwing salt over my shoulder, going chopping the feet off a rabbit, something. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, God. Well, Al, keep us in touch. Keep us up on what's going on with that, because that's a great service lamp that we'd like to, you know, keep abreast of.
Yeah,
by all means.
It's an interesting problem. I mean, it's just crazy. Well, you know, the computer cars.
Yeah, yeah.
They just drive you crazy.
Yeah.
Welcome to my world.
Exactly. All right. Well, we're going to run. We got to take a break.
And, take care. Thank you.
Thanks. We'll talk to you soon.
Right.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. That's Jeep and Al. And you can find Jeep and Al on the he hangs out on Plane and Traffic with us on Thursday nights with myself, Lou Santiago, Lewis Lee. And that's on Crowdcast. You can go. Al is usually a participant in that. So, like I said, we're going to take a break on Motormouth Radio. Ray Guarino, Joe D. We come back, 516-572-7440. Get a hold of us.
Yeah, tell us your check engine light. Tell us your tale of woe.
And we'll be back in a minute. We'll play more Dr. Demento for you.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
You have a short in your horn.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
The legend you are about to hear is true. Only the needle should be changed to protect the record.
This is the countryside. My name is St. George. I'm a knight. Saturday, July 10th, 8:05 p.m. I was working out of the castle on the night watch when a call came in from the chief. A dragon had been devouring maidens. Homicide. My job. Slay him. You call me, Chief?
Yeah, it's the dragon again, devouring maidens. The king's daughter may be next.
You got a lead?
Nothing much to go on. Sid, you take that .45 automatic into the lab to have him check on it?
Yeah, you were right.
I was right?
Yeah, it was a gun.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 6 on Revelations. Right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Motormouth Radio on 90.3 FM, WHPC.
I don't know if you've seen him.
Sure, I've seen him.
Could you describe him for me?
What's to describe? You see one dragon, you've seen them all.
Hey, is Howie in the studio? We are back, Motormouth Radio. Your host, Ray Guarino, Joe D, playing along with Stan Freberg, doing St. George the Dragon Net, which is an old doctor. Yeah. an old Dr. Demento classic, because we are just celebrating that Dr. D is in the news. He's in, actually, in Long Island's hometown paper, Newsday, today. He's in the, I forget what section it is, probably the Arts and Leisure or whatever it is.
Right, yeah.
Big article on himself.
I don't think he's in sports.
No, he's not in sports. That's for good. You're darn tooting on that. So we are back. We were talking some tech, which is what we like to do. We got Joe back in his home spot here, which is it's always fun.
I'm much more at home with check engine lights and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. You know, the other thing that I wanted to talk about today was the other topic that we had was this Chevelle.
I was waiting for you to bring that up.
Well, we were a little engrossed in stuff. So the quick topic is, you know, this is ongoing because the car is being built and I'm tasked with doing a lot of this building. So every week there's going to be a new installment.
Just be honest, you're friggin' chained to the thing.
Yeah, right. Well, what you know, I had to think of, okay, where do I start? And I said, hey, where did I start when I did my car? I started in the back. So I said, let me start by putting a fuel tank in. Easy, right?
Yeah, I don't think so.
There's different tanks. There's EEC systems, venting, non-venting. I had a problem. Joe, I had the new tank up on a screw jack.
Right.
And I just had to put the straps in and put the bolts in.
Yeah.
Couldn't get the bolts to get in. They were coming in on an angle. And then I had the realization. I'm like, N-E-W. Everything in here is new. Never, ever worked.
Never worked.
And
yep.
Never, ever.
They never met each other. They don't know each other. You didn't have the coffee and cake laid out, did you?
No.
You didn't play a little music there?
No.
You know, put them on either side of the car and introduce them? No.
Right.
None of that.
These pieces had never cohabitated together. And, you know, exacerbated by the fact that this car...
Cohabitate and exacerbate in one sentence. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
I need a friggin' aspirin. Go ahead.
This car had so much metal work done to it in the back because of rust.
Mm.
That whole floor pan is new, as were the side panels and all. And the guys that do this over at the shop are very good at what they do.
Right.
But the floor pan has two tabs that come that are in the floor pan.
Right.
And that's where the cage nuts go that the tank bolts go into.
There's a lot of finger motions going on here.
Yeah.
Not the one you would think,
either. I've been pointing like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So that stuff isn't original to the car. The tank is an aftermarket tank. The straps are aftermarket. So nothing had ever been together.
I got three words for you. Tolerance stack up.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So what we ended up doing was I had the bolts like a quarter of an inch of hitting the threads. And you know how frustrating that is?
Been there, done that.
I got a screw jack on the tank. The tank I'm almost pushing through the floor. I mean, that's how I got it. Come on, you little just so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then Mike...
Son of a monkey.
You know, Mike stopped back and said, hey, what's going on? I'm like, I'm glad you're here because I want to show you what's going on with this freaking car.
Look at what your car did to me.
So he agreed. And what we did is we put in a couple of longer bolts. They were metric ones for now with nuts just to hold it in place.
Okay.
And we're gonna. I said, you know, I tried bending the tab down to get it closer to the bolt, but now we put it on an angle.
Right.
You know, now we're on a bad angle this way. I said, I don't know. It's just, you know. So this is the stuff when people talk about restorations and you say, oh, everything's new, it'll be easy. No, folks, it's not. Because sometimes it's even harder.
Yeah. No, I mean, let's face it. You know, you've got different manufacturers, all right, working with within certain tolerances. Now you've got a human being welding panels in, you know what I mean, which has more tolerances.
Right.
So if you're just having a bad day, you ever hear the things about the Monday car or the Friday car?
Absolutely.
Or the freak where one car runs like a raped ape and the other one is a pig?
I've owned some of them.
Yeah, I hear you.
And we've actually owned some of these phone callers, too. Let's go back to the phones and say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
How you doing?
Very good. Who are we speaking with?
John Day in Canada.
Hey, John Day. How are you?
This is John.
John from Pathfinder Lubricants. Or, no, what's the new thing, John?
It's Pathfinder Lubricants, Inc.
Okay.
And I'm Day Distributing,
the distributor
in some tech and sales and do everything, you know.
Got a lot of hats on that head, huh?
I
got
to say, you get a much better phone connection than you do internet connection, because John comes on Thursday night and playing and he's like the guy that pixelates. It's like he's in a transporter beam sometimes.
Right.
It's like, hey, John, going, you hear that noise.
Got it. Well, that was the furnace clicking on because I got the cold air duct right underneath my feet.
It was, it was actually sometimes more like, you know, we hear things like this, and we're like, oh, there's John again. Where's he going?
Internet kind of clicked out the other night, so.
Yeah.
So,
what's happening, John? Tell us a good story.
What's happening, yeah.
I have a question. I got two, but this one I think is related to the other one.
Okay.
The security code came up. I jammed on the brakes the other day, trying not to crash into somebody. Got stumbling, and every once in a while it won't start now. So,
okay.
What's the vehicle, John? Make, model, and year.
Oh, you're going to love it. 1998 Astro all-wheel drive.
Astro, yeah, Chevy Astro.
Astro, man, I love them things.
Oof, 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 oof.
Master Yang.
But anyways, yeah, so this has been come up. So I changed the key. I used another key, and it was fine for about a month, and now I got it again.
90, what did you say? 98
Astro, 4.3.
Okay. And you had the security code.
Yeah. I'm not big with electronics, and I hate it. I'm figuring I'm going to ditch everything and put a 350 in it.
Yeah, there you go. Go for the 396.
Depending on how you do it, that system would still be there. What did you have, a P1626, P1632, P16-something?
The one code that keeps coming up is the CAT, and I replaced that, but I think because I got a misfire that happens, and I'm wondering if these two are connected now.
Yeah, well, okay. This is a big bucket of...
yeah, this is a lot of stuff.
Big bucket of worms here. But let's... okay, so the car doesn't start sometimes?
Pardon?
It doesn't start sometimes? I mean, which malady would you like to address first?
Yeah, what's the worst one that you want to
let's
tackle?
Let's do this security code thing, because I got stuck out in Oshawa for a half an hour before it would start.
That's about right. Okay, real quick. Now, you had the security light was on...
Yeah.
There's usually a light there that says theft, security, please don't steal me, something like that. All right, and that light was on while you were driving?
Well, when I jammed on the brakes, it came on, and it does come on when you're driving, all of us, just out of the blue.
Okay. And the code that you had, you pulled out of the engine, you don't remember the exact number, do you?
I know there was a 030.
I tell you what, John, in the interim, after the show, if you could send me the information, email me the information, and we'll digest it, and next week we'll dive back into it.
Yeah, but real quick, here's the thing.
Yeah.
That's only part of it. That security light came on while you were driving.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, changing the key did absolutely nothing.
Change what?
You said you changed the key?
Yeah.
That did absolutely nothing.
Right.
No. Okay, that is a... But GM has basically two systems in that area. They had the pass key with the little chip in the key, a little radio transmitted thing, and then they have pass lock, which is what you got because it's a Chevy truck. Pass lock means that the sensor and all the good electronic crap is in the lock, and the key is a, you know, $5 true value hardware piece of metal.
Right.
Right.
All right. Now, truck like that, you're probably going to have codes in your body computer.
Right.
All right. That things stopped communicating with each other.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's usually wiring.
Oh, boy.
Almost always wiring. Something's a little loose. May want to borrow some of Ray's dielectric grease.
John's. Oh, you got to talk to John about lubricants and greases. He's got.
Yeah.
The,
oh,
he's
yeah.
Got
that's
the
right.
Stuff,
who am I talking? Look who I'm talking
to. Oh, no. Solve my problem.
Yeah. Put some Rycon on it.
I'm taking it to my other mechanic. He's great. And I had the van in. I took all, because I got this truck from Saskatchewan with 100,000 on it.
That ain't nothing for one of them trucks if it's halfway decent, if it's well taken.
And I took it to the dealer and I asked them to check the shutter wheel.
Okay.
And they didn't in the distributor, right? Because they have an aluminum rivet that's a split rivet.
Right.
And sometimes they come loose. So I went online and a lot of guys were soldering these together so they don't move at all, and the dealer didn't do it. I asked them twice.
What, you were losing spark or something?
Well, I was having problems with that stumble.
Right.
But here goes the other thing. It goes with the misfire. I'm trying to find this misfire. So
okay.
I got a new MAF sensor, wires, EGR. Everything's been redone. Everything.
Cocked the shotgun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'm getting it back to the old mechanic that can do model A's and everything. So I'm waiting for him. But then now I got this stupid security code, and it stumbled on me, and I said, oh, great. And then I went into the computer, and it says it stops fuel flow.
Yeah, truck will start and stall.
And I'm thinking, now did I destroy my cat? Did I get too much fuel for the injectors? Because it's got all new injectors and everything. You know what I mean? So I'm thinking I got two problems.
Easy. And, you get way ahead of yourself over here. Calm down.
Just because you fix one problem doesn't mean there isn't another two sitting back there waiting to just...
Oh, cars are only allowed to break one thing at a time, right? What, is it different in Canada? I don't know. Down here, no, they could break all they want. Okay, first.
But anyways, that's where I'm at. So
how many times
is
it not? How many times does it not start on you? It starts and stalls. How many times has it done that?
Well, just the once right now. But when the security code came up while I was driving, you know, you shut down and then you go start up again. It's gone, and then now I got stuck out there. And then when I jammed on the brakes in the snowstorm, I said, "Oh, this isn't good."
All right, but what I'm saying is that two things happen. When it's a security-related problem, you don't happen to have a scan tool on your lap. First of all, when you try to start the truck will start and install. It'll try to hit, and it'll just drop dead right away.
Correct.
And the security light will flash. Hmm. Did it flash at you? Did it open its little raincoat? No?
Yeah, it's...
Do you remember?
You'd have to be looking to know, yeah.
All right, the reason why is that if the light didn't flash and it was stolen, it wasn't a security problem.
Okay.
All right, that could be rattling around because sometimes that's why when guys look at me when I plug into a vehicle, and especially GM, I'll use like the factory level tool. A good professional grade scanner will give you the freeze frame. It'll tell you when it happened, how it happened, you know what I mean? Also... Because what you could have there is that security code could have been rattling around for some other reason.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Now, the misfire, do you know what cylinder is misfiring? There's a reason why I'm asking this question.
Yeah.
It'd be a PO30 something.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I think it was 5.
Okay. PO5. Well, all right. GM cars, everything is a PO300. Everything. Yep. Then what you got to do is you got to look at the misfire counter on the scan tool, which is not a generic thing. It's a specific thing. Again, professional level scan tool, factory level scan tool, because everything is a PO300. You can have one cylinder with 20,000 misfires and another one with 5. The computer sees multiple cylinder misfire, PO300, which is kind of dumbass because every other car company does not do it that way, but GM does, because I had this on a Caddy the other day. It had misfire codes, PO300. They were getting ready to do a tune-up. It had two cylinders where it was 1 and 3. Car had a bad head gasket.
Oh, boy.
You know what I mean? Because when you cut through all the crap, those two cylinders were the one that was racking them up. Whoever you bring the car to, make sure that they have at least professional little scan tools.
Yeah, Ed will. I know that.
All right, cool.
This is why I'm going to this guy, because none of these guys up where I'm living, I've had it to 3 different places and the dealer. Nobody can find it.
Car's a dinosaur for the dealer.
Well, you know,
the guys,
John,
that work in there weren't even born when that car was built.
When you do get info, send it to me, and then we'll digest it on this end, and we can revisit.
Yeah, whoop it on me. I'm good with that stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
I used to do that crap for a living.
Like you were saying, there's when I was talking to the head mechanic at one place there, I went through all kinds of stuff about fuel and this and that, and I said, boy, you know, you're almost my age, and everything's GM, new school, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, that's cool. Thanks. I'm going to check that out and give that info to Ed. I'm sure he'll find it, and then I'll send you back a result.
Yeah. Anything you got printed out, whatever, whip it on Ray, and we'll take it from there.
Cool. Love it.
All right, John. Thanks a lot. We'll speak to you again soon.
Hey, take care, guys. Thank you.
Okay. So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Again, that was John Day from Day Distributing up in Canada, who's typically on...
Did you just say Canada?
I did, yeah. That's Lou's designation. It kind of infects you. You should kind of grab it.
Right.
We're going to take a last break, Joe. Let's see what we got here on Motormouth Radio. We'll go, maybe Guitar Zan. We'll see. But let's see what's in the other CD player. We'll be back with more Motormouth Radio in a flash.
Whether your car is fast or slow, we're your number one radio show. Motormouth Radio, baby. Ow.
He's free as the breeze, he's always at ease. He lives in the jungle and hangs by his knees as he swings through the trees without a trapeze.
in his DVDs. He's got a union card and he's practicing hard to play the guitar. Gonna be a big star, yeah, he's gonna go far and carry moonbeams home in a jar.
Hi, everyone. This is Bob Petrowski, better known in WHPC circles as New York Polka Bob. Maybe you're trying to get back to your roots, or maybe you're just tired of the same old top 40 songs. If you're looking for something new, something different, something to help you forget your troubles for a moment, then maybe the Polka Beat Ukrainian Melody Time is the place for you. Polka Bob every Monday night at 8 p.m. bringing you the best in polkas, Ukrainian melodies from yesterday and today. Maybe you'll hear something your grandma used to sing, or maybe you'll hear something that's a pop tune that's gone polka style. That's Polka Beat, every Monday night at 8 p.m., the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, also available on the iHeartRadio app.
Whether you're a hot rod or a Camaro chick, the Motormouths will always do the trick. Motormouth Radio, baby.
Yeah, let's hear it for Jane. How about that? Ray Stevens, that's Guitar Zan.
I love the way you pull this stuff out of the back of my memory.
I'll tell you something. The way the music gets programmed for the show is the same way the show gets programmed. I was playing this I was on track, and I had all the cuts segregated to do Lou Reed. I had Lou Reed on my mind. I was thinking, you know, some Lou Reed stuff. And
you went here.
And then, yeah, I had the CD in my bag, and then as I'm reading the paper, I saw this thing on Garrett Hanson and Dr. Demento and said, hey, you know what? I got plenty of Dr. Demento stuff. Let me pull the CD. Let me see if I can find some workable material. And there we go. So that's how, you know, Joe, it's just consciousness, stream of consciousness.
I'm glad we use your stream because mine's more like a slow dribble kind of.
Actually, I'm happy to be conscious sometimes. So that was that. Let's get that straight.
I'm hearing that.
Yeah. So, and of course, pulling out the old promos, this old stuff that Rich Wisneski did for us years ago is great. I love the old. It's just fantastic stuff. It's.
Yeah, that stuff is classic. Thanks, yeah, Chris. Wherever you are.
Yeah, and well, Rich threw this stuff together for us. So that was. That's always, you know, Rich Wisneski. Yeah, I don't think you ever met him. He was one of the guys that was here, in the early 2000s.
That was before my time.
Yeah, he did
and
a lot
then
of.
The earth cooled.
And then the earth cooled, right, and the oceans formed.
So you want to hit a couple more things on that Chevelle real quick? Because,
sure.
Yeah, so basically it was like tolerance stack up. So
yeah.
It's time to test fit stuff before you put it together. You know what I mean? And if you're doing a job, sometimes too when you're doing a job like that, you think you're going to go out there and you're going to put up a gas tank in 15 minutes or half hour because that's what you used to do in the shop. You know what I mean?
Nope.
Different ball game this time around.
Glad
folks.
You said that. Case in point, I thought I
How
was.
How many gas tanks have you dropped on your back?
You know,
and still been out for Friday night festivities.
When I started doing it, I've changed clutches and got out for Friday night festivities.
Yeah.
After work, I thought, all right, you know, I'll bet.
Is that why you smelled like OD-90 weight?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
I figured, yeah, it was a very, very select solution that only car guys have. I thought, and that's why when you get around other guys like down at the UD, and when they come by and they start like sniffing you by your shoulder, I know, you know what it is. They're looking for the 90 weight smell.
Yeah, exactly. There,
yeah, you're good.
Because if you ain't got that, you ain't a real car guy. You ain't a real wrench swinger.
Right. You can't have like 3-in-1 oil. You know, that don't cut it. Sewing machine stuff.
No.
So I thought, walking up to that, saying, you know, once I got the car up on the lift, I'm like, okay, everything's new, great, got everything I need here, put the sender in. I'm like, half hour. I'll be on, and I'm going to move to the front, look at the evap canister and all that. 3 hours later.
Mod on.
And that's why, again, pricing out a job like that. You know, mm-hmm. Mike and I have had conversations about this, and people should know when they go into a shop, depending how you're paying for a labor cost, if it's by, you know, T&M, time and material, or if right. you're going flat rate, stuff you want to know about, because sometimes somebody's yeah. getting hurt.
Or if the repair shop turns around and says, look, I can't give you an exact price because I may run into this, 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 and this. And even this is working on an older car where, like, you know, like the times they quote you in the labor guides yeah. are for a nice new car with the mechanic, with all the tools right there. It's done the job 7 times before.
Yeah.
And now you pull up with this old vehicle, mm-hmm. and, you know, the bolts are snapping, or one of them doesn't come out, or you can't
Rusty
get the
nuts.
Part. You know what I mean? Or they send the yeah. wrong part, or you have to modify, because that's another yeah. thing that happens with older vehicles. Yeah. Now they've consolidated so many things that you have to, like, rewire or reconfigure something, which is not in the original labor quote.
Actually, when Mike came back and we were discussing this, I said, you know what? My own car. I have my tank out. Now, I have the original floor. I have the original tank that I had redone. I had the thing in and out 3 times on the driveway with a floor jack, and I think it took me maybe 12 minutes to get the tank out.
Yeah, right?
You know, and I said, and here I am playing with this thing for hours, and I'm saying, it's all new. It's all never, ever worked.
That's it.
So, anyway, we are about the end of our rope. Kim is here. Stay tuned for Thunder Road. We're going to be back again next.
We promise you won't say anything about gas tanks, catalytic converters,
no.
or security systems.
No codes. We'll be back next week for Joe D, Ray Guarino, more Motor Mouth Radio next week. Maybe with
yada,
another guest.
Yada, 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 yada.
We'll see you then.
Bye.